And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WJR Radio, Michael Harris, DetroitLions.com, as we talk Detroit Lions football, NFL football, the draft, Redskins being sold, dogs and cats playing together. A lot of excitement going on this week in the NFL. Hello, Mike.
Dogs and hats. Dogs and cats playing with each other.
Playing together. Yes,
well,
indeed.
Very, very good.
I'm glad I stayed up for this. Yes, indeed. Well, like I said, next time owners cry broke to me about a player or whatever, I just want to remember that Daniel Snyder got $6.5 billion for a team he paid $800 million for, 20 years ago, and the value of these teams is skyrocketing. So don't cry poor to me from now on.
Yeah, but he's leaving with the money. He's not leaving to operate the franchise with that money. He's taking it with him.
I'm just saying what the value of a franchise is now, Mike. Okay. You can leverage those things. You can take loans against them. I mean, you can do anything. That's your money. That's these franchises' money now.
Yeah.
So the money's there. I don't hear any crying broke by these owners anymore about player salaries, okay?
Well, who's crying?
Wait, there's always somebody crying broke about player salaries. Oh, we're paying these guys too much. We're paying these guys too much. And Lamar Jackson's asked for this. And Deshaun Watson shouldn't get a guaranteed deal because it's just – I don't want to hear any more about that stuff.
Watson got the guarantee.
That's what I'm saying. But now they're talking about it can't be done again and we can't do this and that because of this and that. I don't want to hear any financial crying from owners from this point on.
What about from players?
I don't want to hear from them either. But I do understand when they can't get their value and want to get out. I understand them leaving. But I don't want to hear the crying about it.
The value is as much as they can get.
Oh, we got an owner's man here. Okay. I didn't know who I was talking to today. I'm sorry. I thought we were being objective here today.
When you say that, you're certainly right. You didn't know.
I didn't know. I thought that the I'm a free enterprise guy.
Oh, I can tell. Oh, I can tell.
Anyway, the Redskins have been sold, and evidently, by talking to people in the last day or two, Dan Snyder was a piece of work, man. I really never paid attention to it because, you know, I could care less about the Redskins like I could care less about Green Bay Packers, but evidently, he really took that franchise down in the time he owned it.
Yeah, he really did. It was that was one of the landmark franchises, at least through the 80s and 90s, when they won 3 Super Bowls and just a good team, good guys, personality, all that, and it all just disappeared on him. It really and didn't have to, but it did.
Yeah.
I mean, being in Washington, being at whatever you want to call it, but that market to be there. You ought to make a fortune. You really should. And then you go there now, the stadium's half empty or half full, whichever way you want to put it. It's just a really good franchise that's fallen apart.
I wonder, is the sale or imminent sale, and I'm sure it'll probably be done before the, I don't know about before the draft, but at least before the probably training camp. But I'm assuming, does the owner or the new owner, if they've already agreed in terms, even though it's not officially finished, do you think they'll have any say or input into the draft process?
The new owners?
Yeah.
Depends on when they take over.
Well, I'm saying even if they're not taking over but they've agreed to them in principle, do you think they will be consulted on moves? And if I was buying a team, even though I didn't officially have it and I still had an agreement in principle, I would want to be consulted on what they're doing.
Well, I mean, if they have a general manager and all that who does their job, I would think that they would let him do his job. Whether they were the owner for 10 years, 20 years, or 10 minutes, I think they would, in the end, obviously with oversight of the ownership, but I think that they would defer to the general manager's insight.
Well,
at least I would think so.
Yeah, but the guy who owns the Philadelphia 76ers, Joe Harris.
Correct.
And he's not the kind of guy that defers. If you looked at what the Sixers have done, and even with, I think he owns 3 teams now, right? Doesn't he own a hockey team too? So
he might.
I think he's his own kind of man. And I was just wondering, even if he doesn't officially own the team, but he's like, hey, we have no quarterback. If there's one there, I want you guys to get him. I wonder, does he have any type of say or input?
Well, I would say if he's the owner, he has the ultimate input.
Yeah, but he won't be owner in 2 weeks, right. Is my point. But he'll be owner. In principle, he'll be.
Right.
I'm just wondering, do they even talk to him? But I tell you what, if the guy was going to be my incoming boss, even though he wasn't officially the boss yet, and I knew it was going to happen, I listened to him.
Oh, absolutely. Of course. Why would you defy him?
Yeah. So I wonder, has that changed anything about their draft process? Because that team, to me, they need a quarterback. You know, Taylor Heineke's
well,
okay.
More than that, but yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
They made moves to get quarterbacks, and none of them have worked.
Right, but it's time to move again. And speaking of quarterbacks, it looks now, as everybody's talking, Adam Schefter even said, forget about everything else. Bryce Young is going to be the number one pick. It sure has changed over the last time we did this podcast to now, from Stroud to look like Bryce Young has moved back ahead. And I've always thought Bryce Young was the better quarterback than C.J. Stroud, so I'm not surprised by it. I don't care how big he is. He's the better quarterback, and I'm thinking he's going to be the number one pick, the way it looks.
Yeah, it sure looks that way now. You know, look, in my last mock draft, I had it just the other way. I had, you know, C.J. Stroud of Ohio State going number one, only because of the size issue. You know, 6'3", 215 over 5'10", I guess, and, you know, what does he weigh, 85 pounds?
Right, 204.
He doesn't weigh 204, you know that.
Right, the 204 official listed
combine
weight.
Recorded,
right.
Might be his recorded weight.
Right.
Or as one of the guys said on Get Up on ESPN yesterday morning or the morning before, yeah, he said he was carrying a 10-pound 10-pound iron slab around with him.
And a bag, two bags of nickels in his pockets. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But, look, he's a better quarterback. I'm just sorry. I've seen Stroud.
I think he's more skillful, yeah.
He's a better quarterback. And he's had the better career in college than me. He doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. The only negative you can put on him is size. And the way they protect quarterbacks these days now, maybe he won't play 15 years at that size, but you can get a good career in at that size. Now, they don't touch these guys like they used to. I mean, it was back in Bradshaw's day where Turkey Joneses were running around. I'd say, okay, maybe size is matters way, way more than now. So I'd take him. If I can get 10 years out of a draft pick, I'm fine.
Well, I'm going to make you howl on this one, but as you remember Eddie LeBaron?
No.
5'7", 170 pounds, played 13 years in the National Football League, most of them as a starter. Yeah.
What year was that, Mike?
I think it was 1950 through 1973.
I told you when we come on this show, I told you when we started these podcasts, we got a 1980. I'll go back as far as 75. We will not go past that backwards. Remember, that's the rule. 75 and up.
And he also played at the College of the Pacific.
Okay. Is that college still there?
Well, the Pacific is.
I know the Pacific is. Is the college still there?
Well, Kenny, this was just for you. I
appreciate it. Speaking of that, Jeff Okuda has traded since the last time we did a podcast. And I told you, but you never listened to me. I told you they're not going to take a $5 million backup on the team. It's not fiscally right, and they're not going to do it. And I knew that if he wasn't going to start or be in the, you know, playing time mix at nickel or whatever, they were going to move him or cut him. And they found a team that would take him. A lot of people were upset they only got a fifth-round pick back. But Jalen Ramsey, who's an all-pro, only got back a third-round pick. So it seems that was a decent trade back. I mean, you got something back for him. You could have got nothing.
Well, you know, and Brad Holmes is on a really pretty good roll in what he's been drafted. He's been getting, you know, he's been getting value and production up and down the line there. So I wouldn't scoff at him getting a fifth round pick, or, you know, whatever. But you know, it's too bad in a way. You know, first of all, his career really never got off the ground like it should have been. His rookie year wasn't quite a washout. He played 9 games with four starts before going out for the year with an injury. And the second year he played, you know, part of the first half. The starting cornerback went out for the year with an Achilles injury. And then last year, you know, he started 15 games, played pretty well for a while, but there was never anything dynamic about him on the field.
No.
It really wasn't.
He's just a guy. I never saw anything, even the first year before he got hurt. I just never saw you know, when you see a player that flashes, even if they don't flash the whole year or whatever, you see flashes of why you drafted a first-round pick. I just thought he was a decent player. I just never saw anything.
I agree with that. And part of it about him is I never saw the big plays. One thing about him, I wasn't afraid to mix it up. He'd get in there and hit. He'd do that. But you want a little more out of your cornerbacks than just, you know, supporting the run. You want them to see him make some plays in space. You want to see him get to the ball. And as I recall, I think he had two interceptions and both run deflections, if I'm not mistaken on that. One as a rookie and then one last year.
Yeah, he made that so diving one against Arizona. I remember that first year.
Well, I was on a deflected
yeah,
ball.
Yeah, but it was a dive. He made a dive. Nice play. I remember that. Justin Fields.
Like a coverage snap.
Yeah, and the Justin Fields touchdown was the other one, which I don't know if that was deflected, Mike. I think it was just a bad throw, wasn't it? The Justin Fields touchdown.
Kind of flung it up.
Yeah, he just threw it up there. But, you know, like I said, he's gone now, so we let him go. Another wasted third pick. But this is what I like about Brad Holmes as a GM. Bring your own players. And I've always said that when you're a coach, or when you're a GM, not a coach, but if you're a GM and you come to a job, don't try to patch up the last person's thing. Bring your own team in. And this is – Brad is the first one to do it. He got rid of the quarterback, even though the quarterback forced the issue. So he's going to make his own team from the time he gets here, and he's going to put his guys in there. That's what they do in basketball, the successful teams. That's what they need to do in football. Trying to patch somebody else's team up, it just rarely works.
Let me back up on something here. When you said they do it in basketball, it's the other way around. The basketball players go look for their own team. That's what they do. That's basketball.
Yeah, but the GMs, when GMs come in, Mike, they bring their own people in. They bring their own coach, and then he builds his team around who he wants to. You know, he doesn't say, well, I got 11 guys. Like, I'm taking Stan Van Gundy's guys, and I'm just going to add one more player to it, and we're going to win. That doesn't work. You gotta make your own vision. And I like Brad Holmes. This is Brad Holmes' vision. This is not Bob Quinn's vision. And that's what I like about what he's done.
Just one thing. The one thing I would hope that he would stick with, and that's the offensive line that they pretty much inherited. It's one of the best in the league. And what they've added to it has made it better. That is really a well put together unit. It really is.
Yeah.
I think they've got 8 quality starters on that team.
Right.
8 players that could be could be starters. You know, 5 legit starters and 3 backups who could start.
Well, like I said, his vision is Brad Holmes' vision is strong on both sides of the ball on the line, and I like that vision of a team. You know, I think that's the way you build a team, and I think because of the strong offensive line, it makes Jared Goff better, who I'm not the greatest fan of. I don't hate him, but I just think he's above an average quarterback. But that line makes it even better for him, and it's the perfect marriage. So I just think what Brad Holmes is doing now is perfect for what they need. And this draft will show me more on his vision, I think, because this is a draft you're going into where you don't have to – you're not forced to take any position. You just really taking players that you want to add into your team because they could play a game tomorrow without this draft and be fine.
No, I would think so. I mean, obviously you want the players, but I don't disagree with that. But I just think this is a draft that, you know, pretty much round for round, including the first round, you can let the draft board come to you. You don't have to go out there and panic and, you know, make some 3-cornered trade and a give back and all this other stuff. You can pretty much do what you want to do. I mean, to some within reason, of course. But I think I think what the Lions have done the last 2 years, and some of what they inherited and kept, they're in a really good spot. I mean, a really, really good spot for the. I don't think they've been in this kind of shape since maybe the 1990s when they had all those Pro Bowl players and all pros and all that. But they got really good outfit now.
Well, that's another thing too. I've changed my mind draft wise every week, but I've come down to this new conclusion. They have 4 picks in the first 2 rounds right now. If you told me I could have 4 red chip players, which are good players, starter caliber players, or I could have 2 blue chip players, give me the 2 blue chip players. So I hope they can move around the board, get 2 good blue chip players in that first 2 rounds. And if you got to trade a second round pick to move up, or you got to trade, your 18 pick and move up with a second round pick or a third round pick, whatever, to get 2 blue chip players out of this first round, I'd be happy.
Well, that would be hard to do because this is not a draft that's deep in blue chip players. So,
how many blue chip players do you think are in this draft?
Five, maybe six at the most.
Okay. If I can get two of those six, I'm happy.
It's lots of luck.
Well, I'm like, right. It's a lot of luck.
And the other teams that are drafted, they don't want them.
Yeah, but something like the Cardinals.
Is that realistic?
The Cardinals might want them, but the situation they're in, they probably need more red chip players. They probably would take quantity over quality right now because they're not – one blue chip player is not going to help them. The Houston team, if Houston's not taking a quarterback, they would move off to get more players because these guys are rebuilding. So there's possibilities. I know it's not probable, but it is possible that some of these teams might want to trade out.
Well, obviously they'll do anything, you know, anything to improve their – you know, look what the Bears have done already. Traded away the number one pick.
I think that was a mistake. Yeah, I think that was a mistake, and I think they're gonna rue the day they traded so far out of number one. I don't have a problem trading number one out, Mike, but going from one to nine, what did they really end up getting? They got a lot of picks, but did they get a blue chipper?
Well, here's the thing with the Bears, and do I think they're going to get one? Well, you never know until we get them on the field, but I think they're. You know, they're thinking from – at least it would be mine. If this is what I was doing, this would be my thinking. Three of those slots are going to be taken up by quarterbacks, okay? So you're really talking about five players ahead of you because they're not taking a quarterback. They've got Fields. So there's three – maybe four quarterbacks, you know, who knows. But three at least are going to be gone. So you're really talking about five players ahead of you, and you've got the sixth pick for what you want. And I think that's it makes it a little more palatable. You're not going that far down because of the quarterbacks that are in this draft, or at least I should say the teams that want quarterbacks in this draft.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, I'm not buying that though because we're not sure that two of those quarterbacks are going to go before nine.
Well, who knows? But I'm just saying, if you're the Bears, that's what you're thinking.
Yeah, but that's the risk, don't you think? You had a blue chip player in your possession, and now you're going on a hope that one will be there.
Well, right, you're going to get a lesser player. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, but I just think one to nine was too far to go back. They should have went back to like four with Indy or something like that. But we'll see. Like I said, we'll see who's right and who's wrong. But I'm in the blue chip player thing. This is my whole thing for the next 2 weeks because difference making players make up for a lot of things on the football field. And if I'm the Lions and I got the ammo now, if it's a chance for me to go up and get Anderson. If I want to roll the dice on a Jalen Carter, those are probably the two blue chip non-quarterback players to me. Or if you think one of the quarterbacks is a blue chipper, then this is the time to do it. This is your opportunity. You're never going to have four picks in the first two rounds again, probably for, you know, 10 years or whatever. It's just the stars lined up for you this draft.
I don't disagree with that, but I view it, like I said, the way I think the Bears would view it is that those, you know, they're going to be players that they don't want that are going to be ahead of them, and it makes the pick that they're going to get, you know, slightly better. It's not going to be maybe a world beater, but it's going to be a little bit better than you would in an ordinary year.
Right. So, like I said, the pick is six. We're 2 weeks off. A lot of visits were made. Quarterback Stroud came in to visit this week, which is one of the 30 visits. I know a lot of people were, you know, speculating the Lions might take a quarterback. I think they were just doing their due diligence, though. You know, you got 30 visits. Why not use one on anybody who could possibly fall to you? And put it like this. If that draft came and the Lions took a quarterback, I wouldn't fall off a chair in surprise the way I was when they took Hockenson or Jelani Tavai. I remember at that draft I was at Allen Park when that happened, and I fell off my chair with that pick. But anything that they pick now, I'm not shocked by because – they could go anywhere.
Well, I think I don't think they're going to take an offensive lineman. Well, I wouldn't be upset at that. I think you've got a good offensive line, better than good, and you know, drafting an offensive lineman would just give you depth to keep a good unit, you know, to keep it good in case of injury.
Right. I know Brad Holmes.
I'm not saying that's the first thing I would do, but I wouldn't scoff at it either.
No, I know. Dan Campbell was on Rich Eisen's show. I saw a clip of it, and he said there were some players that I don't want to use the right term. I think he said players that excite him. Those players that he really liked. I mean, it, you know, attitude-wise, whatever, were there guys in this draft like that, and he didn't say who they were, but he said, these are guys that get me going. That's what he used, get me going. So maybe enough, maybe an offensive lineman would get him going, and he would take him. But the way he said, we're open to anything. And I'm open to anything, too, as long as it's a blue-chip player. I'm happy for that because, like I said, your team is ready to contend for a title this year. And if you got players, an individual player that can win a game for you individually on the roster, then that's the better for you. And I just like that Anderson from Alabama. I'd spend the assets to go up and get him if he's available. I mean, I just think him, he's a difference-making player that can win a game for you by himself.
Well, I don't know about by himself, but yeah, he certainly could make a big play for you. Yeah. But that's, first of all, who's to say he's going to be available? But I'd find out. I wouldn't give up too much, but I'd give up something.
Right. So, well, it's 2 weeks from now, Mike. Anything that surprised you with the rumors or anything, guys coming in that surprised you about the draft process?
No, not really. You know, it's been pretty predictable, I think. I've been working at home those last couple of days up in my little office, if that's what you want to call it. I'm, you know, going through different things. I got the radio on, and they're talking about they're doing mock drafts on the radio. I just think the National Football League down to the draft has kind of consumed us at times, and I think this year's draft is just another example of that, of how far people will go just to be part of the action, just to, you know, these mock drafts, and not just me, but, you know, the average fan out there, they want to be part of the action. And it's the National Football League has got a great thing going right now.
Well, they know how to milk it. And usually they used to put the schedule out before the draft, then it became after the draft. I haven't seen it on NFL Network yet when the draft will be coming out.
I think that's part of the appeal now, or whatever it is. You don't know when it's coming out. So you've got to be on alert for the schedule.
But they usually put a couple games out before the draft, like the opening night game or something. So you'll probably see something next week on the draft part.
I hope so, and
see what's going on. They invited 17 players to the draft. And usually those players they invite, they don't want to be sitting in that room at the end of the first night. So that tells you exactly who they think those top 17 out of the first 32 are. So all four quarterbacks were in it. The Kansas kid was not one of the 17, which interests me because I've seen draft picks. That's the Pitt defensive tackle that has been going up and down according to, you know, who you're listening to. I've seen him go as high as 9. He wasn't invited to the green room, so that's interesting to me. I thought he might have slipped into the first half of the first round guy.
Well, you know, I've had him going to the Lions at 18, and I wouldn't be surprised if he goes. You know, if he goes, either way, he could go obviously higher, lower, or right on the number. But he certainly is an intriguing prospect. I mean, he's a heck of an athlete. You know, I think he fits a position where the Detroit Lions could use him. But really, realistically, do the Lions need a 281-pound defensive tackle, nose tackle, or whatever you would play, interior defensive lineman? One thing about him, he's everything you read about him is that he's a really explosive athlete, and that could help the Lions in the middle, help the defense in the middle.
Yeah, but at 281, you're a rotation guy, unless you're Aaron Donald, and he's not Aaron Donald.
Just about all linemen are.
Yeah, but I mean rotation, where you're not gonna play him a lot every game because he'll be wore out by the eighth game at 281. Aaron Donald is a different. That's a different animal right there. That's once every 15-year guy right there that you see. That could, and Aaron Donald's still bigger than he was when he came out of college, because you could just look at his definition as muscularity. He's gotten, you know, stronger and bigger, and he's that guy now. So, but we'll see.
The guy is, you know, some of the combine results were almost identical. For the two players,
right.
it's amazing how close they look.
Except for Aaron Donald had the 10 split and arms were like longer, and that was one of the things that I noticed when I put the two up against each other. A lot of the running numbers and stuff were the same, but Aaron Donald had those longer arms. And if you're gonna be that small, you definitely need those arms because you gotta push and pull guys and get them off you. And people think that doesn't make a difference. That makes a big difference.
Well, that's one thing Tyree Wilson's got for him. He's got a wing.
Oh, my goodness, man. He could probably
– that's something.
He probably could pat the left tackle and right tackle on the butt in the middle of the huddle. I mean, geez, he can go from side to – I got a feeling. I'm glad you brought him
up.
He
looks like a U2. He looks like a U2 to me.
He's going to go higher than people are talking. I just got a feeling on him. That's my feeling. And they're talking in the 6'7" range.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to go higher. I just got a feeling that when it all comes to sin, and put it like this, I would not be surprised. I know it might not happen. I would not be surprised if he goes before the linebacker Anderson.
The linebacker Anderson from Arkansas?
From Alabama.
Alabama?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. You call the linebacker? You mean the pass rusher?
Yeah. Well, I call him a linebacker, but he's a pass rusher, linebacker, DN.
I'm sorry. That's timeout. We need a definition of terms here.
Right.
I was thinking of the guy from Arkansas.
No, that's Drew Sanders. Drew Sanders.
Too, right?
Yeah, Drew Sanders, who I like.
I do, too.
But, like I said, I don't know about linebacker. At 18, maybe. Maybe. I like him. All right, Mike, so that's going to be it for this week. We're going to get in next week when it's 1 week away, and we're really going to get down into it because the rumors will be flying. I'm sure there'll be some trades made. There'll be some other things going on. We'll really cover the draft. I think we'll have a guest next week, too, a draft guest, and we'll get right into what's going on. Yeah, we'll have a guest. So,
see, you going to serve lunch?
Yeah, sure. So see Mike O'Hare on DetroitLions.com for his mock draft. What mock are we on now, Mike, 4.5, 5.5?
4.0 will be coming out in 11 days.
11 days. All right. And then we'll talk here on the Mitch Albom Show, where we'll be talking to some of the key players with the draft. Listen in every day because I'm sure there'll be some Lions talk going on. And I'll see you next week. All right, Mikey.
All right, Ken Brown.
All right. Thank you.